promises that God can bring something good out of it. That was Joseph's testimony, wasn't it? When his brother sold him into slavery. When he said, what you meant for bad, God meant for good. It was the Apostle Paul's testimony when he was thrown in prison for the umpteenth time. He said, it's good that I'm in chains because the gospel can be preached. And it's good for us to be reminded that whatever situation and circumstance we find ourselves in, whether we think it's our fault, whether we think it's someone else's fault, whether it's just so random that we just have to trust God and say, I don't know why I'm going through these things, but I believe that you can be glorified through this. Jesus doesn't just leave it there. He then says, well, look, I need to display God's glory. I need to do something. So what does he do? He spits on the ground, and with all the dust, he makes a little mud pie. And then he sticks it on the man's eyes. You think, wow, that's a really weird thing to do, isn't it? I mean, if you came to me today and said, oh, I've got some poor eyesight, I'd probably send you to Specsavers first. But if I suddenly spat on the floor and got in a bit of dust, a bit of mud, and then stuck it on your eyes, what would you think? You'd probably be a bit shocked by that, wouldn't you? Maybe I should try it. I mean, I'm obviously not Jesus, but, you know, we're called. He says, you know, we need to do God's work. He says that, he says, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. So he's not just talking about himself, he's talking about the disciples. We need to do this, and the same call is upon us to do the works of God. So maybe I should try it. But he spits on the ground, he makes this mud pie, and he sticks it on the man's eyes. But why? I mean, he could have easily just said, look, be healed. Be healed. You know, eyes open. And it would have happened. Two things were going on there. I think he really wanted the man to actually do something. And so often, faith is about stepping out in action. It's not, faith isn't passive, it's active. We actually have to do something. We actually, it takes movement. It takes us moving out of our comfort zones or letting go of certain things. So he asked the man to actually go and do something. A public place to wash. Secondly, he was looking for confrontation. Jesus, meek and mild, was looking for confrontation with the religious leaders. You see, the day he did this was on the Sabbath. And he knew that if he was to do something physical like make a mud pie, he would be accused of working on the Sabbath. It was ridiculous. It was so legalistic. And he knew that. And he wanted to challenge the mindset. What was more important, this man's eyesight or the fact that he made a little mud pie? Did God not really have a heart of compassion for this guy every day of the week? So Jesus does it as he does it, and the guy, his eyes are opened. And it causes great excitement. Can you imagine being him? He has never seen in his life. He's never been able to see anything. Then all of a sudden, his eyes are open and he can see. You can imagine his joy. You can imagine his excitement. You can imagine his confusion. You can imagine the joy and the excitement of friends and family who suddenly see him. But there's a real mixture here. There's something, is it really him? Is it not? And they said to him, you know, what happened? How did this happen? And he says to him, well, you know, there's this man Jesus, they called Jesus. He made some mud and he put it on my eyes. Then he told me to go and wash, and so I went and washed and I could see. And they said, well, where is this man? I don't know. Do you know nothing else about him? No, I couldn't even tell you what he looks like because I was blind. He doesn't know anything about him. He just did what Jesus told him to do. Of course, they bring him before the Pharisees, and the Pharisees, they don't like Jesus at all, and they're against him. And they are trying to get this guy to say, well, look, you know, he's a sinner, this bloke. He said, what he did to me was on the Sabbath. So it's not possible that this guy can be a godly man. They don't even believe him that he's been healed. They get his parents in. They say, you know, is this your son? You know, how come he can see now? And they say, well, look, you know, if we know he's our son, we know he was born blind, but how he can see, well, we don't know. And who opened his eyes, we don't know. You better ask him. He's old enough to tell you. And they said that because they were frightened. So they call the guy in again and they say, look, what is going on? This guy is a sinner. We know this man is a sinner. And the former blind man's response is this: whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. I don't know all the answers to your questions. I've never even seen the bloke. I couldn't even tell you what he looks like. But one thing I do know is that I was blind, but now I see. That's the reality. That's my story. I can't give you an answer to any. Who is he? Well, I think he's a prophet. He starts on going, I think he's a prophet. He must be, because he's from God, because only God's people could do this, surely. But he doesn't even know that he's the Son of God at that moment. Not until he meets Jesus later, and Jesus says to him, well, you know, do you believe in the Son of Man? He said, well, who is he? I don't know who he is. But his statement is, one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Two things. It demonstrates the importance of a personal encounter with Jesus. How important it is for each of us here to have a personal encounter with Jesus. Not religion, not rules and regulations. We're not following that. We are following a person. If you're a Christian, you're following a person. That person is Jesus. You're not just following a set of rules and regulations, not following a set of do's and don'ts. You are following a real person. And it's important that each of us knows and has an encounter with this person. The second thing is that it's important that we share our story. This man's story was very limited. He didn't know anything except for that he was blind, but now he sees. You know, the older I get, the more I realize that I don't know anything. I've been a Christian 33 years this year? I mean, I know it's impossible because I don't look that old, But, you know, my story was this. My story really, in terms of faith, started when I was 12 years old. Two significant things happened to me at the age of 12. Number one, I met my father for the first time. My parents had separated when I was around the age of 3, and we had no contact with him whatsoever. Then, when I was 12, he suddenly came back on the scene, and he was really wanting to get back with my mum. But something even more significant happened just months before that. And that was that my mum became a Christian. She was born again. And I saw the difference in her. I saw the difference that Jesus made to her. It had been a tough journey for her. She was broken by the breakdown of the relationship and my dad's behavior and everything that had happened. But I saw a new joy and a new strength and a new peace and a new passion in her, even at the age of 12. And she began to talk to my brother and me about Jesus, that Jesus loved us and he had a plan and a purpose for us and he died for us and all this stuff. And she gave us books to read, books like The Cross and the Switchblade and Teen Challenge, the guy David Wilkinson, who that is about, Teen Challenge, the ministry he started in the 60s in New York, is over at Mourne Manor this afternoon. There's a team from Team Challenge going over there. And if you're free, I'd encourage you to go. If not, don't worry, because they're coming here in April. And it's people whose lives have been taken off drugs and alcohol and from gangs and things like that. My mum knew that I'd read this book because it had a switchblade on the front of it. And I was like 15 by this time, and I was into my going to football with my friends. There's a big group of people, and I was also a mod, and so there's a big group of us. And so she knew that I wasn't really gangs, but it was kind of, you were together. So she knew I'd be interested in this stuff. And I read it, and I believed it all. But it took a long time to get from here to here. You see, what I was believing was what I'd seen God do in my mum's life. And it was so key, because if she hadn't come to faith, she may well have married my dad again, which wouldn't have been a bad thing, I guess. But interestingly, 18 months after he came back, he then married someone else. And he went off again. So it was very complicated and was very confusing. And I think my mum could see that that was going to happen. So she had some inner strength to know that actually I don't need this relationship in the same way. But, you know, I went through my teens, if I'm honest, knowing all this stuff, believing all this stuff, but inside I was angry. Inside I was afraid. Inside I was rejected. And it came out in all kinds of ways. I mean, one of the things that makes me laugh now is that over the years, people have said, oh, you know, you're actually quite well balanced, aren't you? And you're quite stable chap. And I said, oh, really? Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's really good. I'm really pleased you think that. And I'm really pleased people think that. Because if they had known me when I was younger, as a teenager, they wouldn't have said that. Because I was angry. I was lost. I was rejected. I was afraid by so many things. You may not have realized it, but I was. But in Christmas, it was Christmas 1986, that one day I was in my early 20s, I was still living at home with my mum. It was just me and my mum. My brother had left. And I used to go straight into the pub after work at 6 o'clock. Because from 6 to 7, they had happy hour, which is good. Half-price drinks. It was good. And so every day, this was like a routine. And this particular night, I came home about 7:30, and we had a disagreement because my mum hated the fact that I was drinking so much, and it was a problem for my brothers, a problem for my other family members. And we got into this disagreement. And I just said, oh, I'm going out again. And I went to go out, and she said, before you go out, can you sort out a tape that got music tape that got stuck in the machine in the front room? So I went to get the tape. I took the tape out and I rewound it because it had been chewed up a little bit. And then I put it back in. And I thought, I better just make sure it's not going to do the same again. So I pressed play. And it was a Christian worship tape. My mum had just been to see a chap called John Wimber, an American pastor who was down in Brighton. And it was the start of the Vineyard Music worship tapes, so all the choruses. And I just stood there and I'd listened to this music and listened to the words. And the words were just all about Jesus, his love for me, that he died for me, that he shed his blood for me. And all this, as I just listened, all I can say is that the Holy Spirit came upon me. And he convicted me of my sin. I was convicted deep inside. And I began to cry. I was on my own. No one was there. My mum's house was very tiny. So you could hear the music from the kitchen where she would have been. But she had no idea what was going on. And I just fell to my knees and began to cry. And I began to ask Jesus to forgive me. Then all I can say is that just a wave upon wave upon wave of God's love came upon me. And just said, I love you. I love you. I love you. And that must have gone on. It seemed like ages, but it was probably 5-10 minutes. At the end, when the music stopped, my mum came in totally unaware of what was happening. And I'm on my knees. So she said, what's happening? And I said, I need Jesus. So she got down on her knees and prayed with me to receive Jesus. And it went from my head to my heart. And I knew. I knew that I knew that I knew. I couldn't tell you everything about so much. I couldn't tell you about the end times. All I could tell you was, well, it's going to be all right. God wins. That's what I know. I couldn't tell you everything about Jesus like this guy. I'd not physically seen Jesus. I'd read about him in the books. I'd listened to what my mum told me. But now I'd encountered him. I'd encountered him. For the first time, really. And I can honestly say that he changed my life. I'd like to say everything went really smoothly from that moment onwards, but it didn't, and it hasn't. And there are so many things I don't get. There's so many things I don't understand. So many things I wish were different, but not. And I just have to trust God in it and through it. What I do know is that Jesus loves me. A student once asked the great theologian Karl Barth. He said, "What's the most significant theological discovery you've made?" And he said this: "Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so." Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Do you know he loves you? Do you know he loves you? Do you know he cares for you? Do you know he's forgiven you? See, that night, I knew that he loved me. I knew that he gave me. And he's had to continue forgiving me most days. But it's been on that journey. I knew he had a plan and a purpose for my life. I couldn't tell you all the details, but I just knew it. I couldn't explain it, but I just knew it. You know, one of the interesting things is that as a pastor, whenever you go into social settings, especially amongst non-Christians, as soon as they find out who you are, that they go, well, I can't believe, because what about this? What about that? You know, what about, and the big one is suffering. It's always suffering. And I have to say, I don't know. I don't know, but then I tell them my story. I said, I don't know about it, but what I do know is this. This has been my story. This is my experience, and it's the experience and the story of so many other people over the years. And it starts with that encounter of knowing that once I was blind, but now I can see. Have you had that kind of encounter? Not physically, but spiritually. Well, you know, or are you still in that place where you're trying to work it all out? You're trying to reason everything out. You're trying to dot all the I's and cross all the T's, and it doesn't work like that. It would be easier if it does, but it doesn't. It's about relationship. And this guy encountered Jesus, and it was the beginning of a relationship. He didn't even know who he was. Until later, Jesus comes and finds him. And then when he finds out who he is, he worships him. And then he goes and tells others. You see, two things. It starts with an encounter. We don't need to know all the answers. We just need to know this. That Jesus loves me. That Jesus died for me. That he's forgiven me. And secondly, we just tell our story. We tell our story to anyone who will listen. I don't know about you, but do you worry that you feel you can't tell your story because you don't know everything? There's so many things I don't know. I don't know the sort of noise that a peacock makes. Anyone know what the sort of noise a peacock makes? Put your hand up if you know. Yeah. Ellie, do you know what noise a peacock makes?
Ah!
Wow. My eyes are opened. I know. I now know what noise a peacock makes. There are so many things I don't know, but one thing I do know is that Jesus loves me. And I hope you're in the same place, that you're able to say, whoever you're talking to, I don't know, but I do know this, that Jesus loves me. Amen. Let's pray. If the band would like to come back.